Our first scripture reading is from Paul's second letter to the church at Corinth, beginning at chapter 5, verse 20 in the latter half. We implore of each of you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled with God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become righteousness of God. As God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For as he said, in the time of my favor, I heard you, and in the days of salvation, I helped you. I tell you now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. We put no stumbling block in anyone's path, so that our ministry will not be discredited. Rather, as God's servants, we communicate ourselves in every way and in great endurance, in troubles, hardship, and distress, in beatings, imprisonment, and riots, in hard work, sleepless nights, and hunger, in purity, understanding, patience, and kindness, in the Holy Spirit and his sincere love, in truthful speech and the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left, through glory and dishonor and bad report, and good reports, genuine, yet regarded as impostors, known yet unknown, dying and yet we live on, beaten and not yet killed, sorrowful yet not always rejoicing, poor yet making many rich, having nothing and yet possessing everything. Our second reading is from Matthew's Gospel in the sixth chapter in various parts. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others, to be seen by them. If you do, you have no reward from the Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with your trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not pray like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go to your room, close the door, pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their face to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head. Wash your face, so it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father, who is unseen. Your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Do not store up things yourself, treasures on earth, where moth and vermin destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and there where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. This is the ending of the reading of our scriptures.
Thank you, Keith. Wonderful words for us tonight. So as we get ready to hear God's message for us tonight, I ask that you would once again pray with me. God, I ask that you would open our hearts, that you would open up our minds, that we may fully understand, not only as we hear the scripture read to us, but as we hear your message for us. And God, may the words that I speak no longer be my own, but your words. God, your words for your people. Amen. Ashes to ashes and dust to dust. Many times we hear these words spoken at gravesites. Graveside service for someone who has passed away. We remember this phrase because we hear it often enough, but do we really reflect on what it is telling us? Tonight we celebrate Ash Wednesday in the service. It's a reflective time, a time when we can pause from the busyness of our lives, even in the midst of a pandemic. So I invite you to take a moment. Just breathe in and to breathe out and to focus our attention on that voice, that still small voice. We were created from the dust of this earth, and God breathed life into us. But we are mortal, which means to the dust we shall return. We're reminded of this, of our mortality, during funerals and during special services like the one tonight. Ash Wednesday marks the beginning of this season of Lent, which is a season of reflection, a season of 40 days designed to help us to prepare for Easter. It's a thoughtful time and a somber time. Many times we don't even hear a single word of Alleluia. I'm reminded of this so many times as I've gone through so many choir cantatas and choir anthems and how they are so carefully chosen at times to not include this word. We don't hear it again until Easter, until our journey is done, until our journey is complete. Lent is a journey. It's not one to take lightly. And of course, we all know this, there's a certain tradition that follows along with this season. And It's a tradition of sacrifice. Many of us will deny ourselves one thing or another during these 40 days. The most well-known of these is certainly not eating meat on Fridays during Lent. Our brothers and sisters in the Catholic Church have followed this tradition faithfully for many, many years. And so, too, we make decisions sometimes about what we would like to sacrifice or what we would like to give up during this season. But do we know why we are doing that? I've talked with many people about it, and I've heard this quite often. Oh, it's something the church does during Lent. They give up something. It's tradition. I'm really not sure why, though. See, it's not just something we give up. It's a sacrifice. But it's supposed to direct our attention not to the sacrifice, but it's supposed to direct our attention to God. If we deny ourselves meat on Friday or maybe food for a day of fasting, we should focus our attention when we get hungry and when we have those cravings, focus on God. We should be praying when we have those urges, when our stomach does those wonderful noises that just a reminder, maybe I should pause and pray for a moment. You see, it's not just good enough to deny ourselves something. We need to be reflecting and praying, reading scriptures during these times. And see, if we hear tonight from the passage that Keith just read to us from Matthew, we hear a lot of about the things that Jesus asks us to do. We hear about doing good deeds, giving to the needy, praying, and fasting. And these are all spiritual disciplines, and there are many, many more of these. But notice what Jesus is telling the people about these things. Don't do them in public. Don't make a scene when you're participating in them. Don't proclaim what it is that you are doing. That's what the hypocrites do. Jesus doesn't want us to be like the hypocrites. He wants us to be humble. He's asking us to participate in spiritual disciplines, but for the right reasons. Because we want to, not because we have to. There's a difference. God doesn't want to force us to comply with His will. He doesn't want us to see all the spiritual disciplines as part of a requirement to get into heaven. There's no chart hanging on the wall for us, for those of you who remember, to place our star stickers on, so that once we have completed the list, we can be assured of our heavenly place in the kingdom. That's not how it works. Brothers and sisters, God wants us to participate because we want to, because we want to know God more. God wants this relationship with us, but that only comes through learning and communication and spending time with one another. Isn't that what happens in our relationships? We get to know each other better when we spend time with each other, and I know that that's been difficult over the past year. This is where spiritual disciplines come in. They're a way to spend time with God, building and securing that relationship that He desires, that He has longed for since the beginning when sin entered the world. Richard Foster wrote a book called The Celebration of Discipline. This book discusses the spiritual disciplines, and he includes actually 12 spiritual disciplines, but I only want to mention 4 tonight. See, these 4 are what he considers the inward disciplines, those that you would practice in private. These disciplines are meditation, prayer, fasting, and study. 2 of the 4 are mentioned in our scripture reading from Matthew, prayer and fasting. But as we look to deepen our relationship with God, these 4 practices can go a long way. Meditation can just be simply stopping everything that's going on in our lives for just a moment, a few minutes, maybe an hour, just centering our thoughts on maybe one thing. How many of you have seen this commercial that keeps coming on TV every so often? It's actually sponsored by an app called Calm. And it's usually just the sound of falling rain and a circle in the middle of the screen. It says, don't do anything for 30 seconds. And I wonder if you follow that. Or do you look at that and go, oh, okay, well, I got a couple other things I need to quick do before the show comes back on. Pause for just 30 seconds and to listen. A scripture passage, a photo, a thought, or something else that allows you to focus all of your attention on God. Now, it can be difficult at first. Maybe 30 seconds is too much time. I hope not. But with practice, you can make those times longer so that you don't wander in your thoughts like I do quite often. But spending time meditating on what God is trying to say to you. Prayer can be similar to fasting, because there are times in prayer that I find myself listening for God's voice. It's that still small voice to nudge me in a certain direction or give me maybe some clarity in a situation. I mean, too often we're misled by the thought that prayer should just be about telling God what we are thinking, what we need, or what we want, almost like giving a list of commands that need to be performed. Or maybe if we're thinking that if we rub the lamp just right, we can get all that we're looking for. We do this so much that we never stop speaking to hear what God says. Someone once told me that if I was not hearing God's voice, maybe I should just stop talking. Prayer is a conversation. It's not a one-way street. Listening is part of the conversation. It's part of all your conversations, isn't it? Why can't it be involved in prayer as well? Fasting now is a difficult one for me. Denying myself food has never been that really appealing to me, except when I'm doing something that I thoroughly enjoy. And I wonder if you can relate to this. I found myself in certain times when maybe working on a project with my car, back when we had our house in Rockford, with a music project or fishing. I've just gone right past lunch, right past dinner. Food didn't bother me at that point. Fasting is different. Here, the discipline calls for abstaining from eating, and when the hunger comes up, we are to pray. Or to spend time reflecting on our relationship with Jesus Christ. The hunger comes to remind us that our focus needs to not be on ourselves, but on God. And finally, in these four, is the discipline of study, reading Scripture thoughtfully and reflecting on what is being spoken into our lives through Scripture. Study involves digging into the passages. Maybe just by itself. Other times, maybe with another book. Maybe a devotional book will help along in some of the understanding. But this can be as simple as marking off, once again, 15 minutes in your favorite chair, reading a devotional along with scripture that corresponds to that reading. Either way, spending time reading and reflecting on God's word is incredibly important. It's important for building and maintaining this relationship. The other disciplines that Foster mentions are simplicity, solitude, submission, service, confession, worship, guidance, and celebration, along with others. I recommend this book for anyone who's looking to deepen their relationship and looking to deepen their understanding of the means of grace through spiritual disciplines. But as we think of these disciplines, especially in this season of Lent, I want you to notice what Jesus is asking in our reading from Matthew. First of all, he's not asking us to do these things. And so, listen to these words Once again, just the beginnings of part of these verses. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people. Thus, when you give to the needy, and when you pray, and when you fast, you hear these words, Jesus is assuming that you're already doing all of those things. He's not asking you to do them. He's saying, hey, when you do this, he's assuming you're already doing it. When you give, when you pray, when you fast, Jesus is speaking to us as we are already doing them. So when we do these things, when we practice our spiritual disciplines, we are to do them humbly. We're not to look for acclaim. We're not to look for the attention of those around us. We're to practice them in private, behind closed doors, away from others. And if we must be out in the open, we are to act normally. Wash your face so others won't notice. God knows our hearts. God knows our actions. God is with us wherever we are and whenever we are practicing these disciplines. In fact, he's there when we're not, too. Now, before I finish this morning, I would like to remind you that while we should be doing these things in private, we need to be aware of our witness and our testimony. We talked about this the past two Sundays. If we share with those who truly want to hear what we are fasting from this season, we should tell them. Our fasting might encourage others to begin a spiritual discipline themselves. Just don't be like the Pharisees, mounting that larger-than-life phylactery on their head, if you remember what those are, the big old boxes. Be humble about it and express why you are fasting. This is an opportunity to share your faith, to share your faith with those that are asking those questions. And so as we begin this season of Lent, and we look to offer a sacrifice of denying ourselves from one thing or another, please fill the void with the spiritual discipline. Fill it with something that focuses your attention on your relationship with Jesus Christ. Allow these 40 days to be a time of preparation for our Easter celebration to help us on our journey. And one of these ways, some of you might have seen it as you came in, if you had come in the sunrise room entrance, to help you along your journey, you're going to find in your Lent bags, it's going to talk about some of these different forms of prayer. One of them is a finger labyrinth. But just in case you don't want to just do a finger labyrinth, there's actually one in the community room. It's taped out on the floor, and I encourage you to use it. We do have silver sneakers in here on the morning during the week, and so the morning sometimes is a little difficult, but the afternoons are better to be able to do that. There is one way in and one way out. That is what a labyrinth is. It kind of looks like a maze, but when you really look at it, it's simply a path for you to walk to get to the center. It's there for you to use anytime. Anytime you feel comfortable, come out and use it. Tonight, after worship, I'll invite you again at the end of the service. But tonight, go over there. Walk through. If you take a nice, slow, leisurely pace, it should take you about 15 to 20 minutes to get to the middle and another 15 to 20 minutes to come back out. As you work your way in, one of the ways that I love using this is to pray inward on the way in. Pray for your immediate family. Pray for yourself, for discernment, for guidance, for strength, for healing, whatever it is that you need. Pray all of that on the way in. And when you turn around from the center and start working your way back out again, pray for others. Pray for your church family. Pray for this community. Pray for the world. Pray for all of those outside of your circle. I encourage you to use that. We will have trail guides there at the beginning that'll allow you to experience that in different ways, but you can use it however the Spirit leads you. It's there for you. This is a journey. This is a journey of hope, because we know where this journey ends. And so I encourage you to spend these 40 days in reflection and in growing in your faith. Will you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, we want to grow in our relationship. We want to know that deep relationship with you. And so we know that these 40 days are a gift. It is a gift to us so that we can travel this. We can travel it with you, and we can travel it with our family of faith. Guide us, give us strength, and nudge us in the right direction when we need to change paths. All this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So we get ready to go forth from this place and from wherever you are watching. May we exit quietly as we are reflective of what has happened and what we have encountered this evening. I do encourage you to walk next door for all of those of you here and walk the prayer labyrinth, praying as you begin this journey, as we begin this wonderful season of Lent. But always go knowing that the love of God, that the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit goes with you. And it goes with you always. Amen.